Good morning. We continue with our brand new series, Nachiyomi Day Per Look, which we do every single day. Lili Nishmas Avi Mori, Rav Hillel ben Meir Chil Mechel, Zichrono Lebracha, and the late great Rabbi Jerry Acker, Zichrono Lebracha. Normally in this slot, we take the time out to focus on one part of the Perek. Today, I want to actually do a brief introduction instead into Sefer Shoftim. We're going to see something called the Shoftim cycle. We're going to see the differences between a Shofet and a Melech. We're going to discover quite a bit that this Sefer, written by Shmuel HaNavi, that spans 355 years of the Shoftim, are going to be built about an idea of Bayamim Ha'im Ein Melech B'Yisrael, that there was no king at that point in time. Well, the Abarbanel, in his introduction to the Sefer, highlights the fact that both Shoftim, who will make up the bulk of our Sefer, and Melachim, who will first be appointed by Shmuel HaNavi in the next Sefer and carry themselves all the way through Sefer Melachim, which will end and comprise the rest of the Nevi'im Rishonim, the Abarbanel notes that there are five similarities and yet, at the same time, four dissimilarities between a Shofet, a leader who will appear in Sefer Shoftim, and a Melech, a king who will be Chai V'Kayim. The first commonality, says the Abarbanel, is the fact that both a Shofet and a Melech are appointed by the Jewish people and represented by Beis Din. The Shoftim also lead the people out to war, just like a king can. That's point number two. The Abarbanel adds that both a king and a Shofet have an ability to punish and give makos based on the needs of the time, whether or not it fits the general justice system as delineated in the Torah. In other words, they are both able to do what we call provide makos shelo kedin. We also know that the rules of Mora Malchus, the idea of having awe for the Jewish leadership, applies both to the Shofet and the king, being point number four. And also the fifth point, according to the Abarbanel at least, is that the period of the Shoftim, like the period of the Melachim, was also always something that was consistent. There was never a time where there was no Shofet. It should be pointed out that the Avnei Nezer, the Sachachava Rebbe, very strongly disagreed with the Abarbanel on this point, and he felt that Jewish leadership with the Shoftim only existed after the Jews found themselves in trouble, and that made a major difference. On the other hand, the Abarbanel points out that while a king has to have Meshicha, he has to be anointed with the anointing oil, which, by the way, the idea of the Shemen HaMishcha is something that appears in this week's Parsha, in Parshas Kisisa. Also, that is not true by a Shofet. The Shofet doesn't have Meshicha. Also, a king is only involved in communal matters. He's not involved in deciding matters on a one-to-one level between two individuals. The Shofet's quite the opposite. The Shofet's there to judge between two people, and we know that that's certainly something that existed and will be discussed most prominently, I believe, when we discuss Devorah HaNevi'ah, and we'll deal with the ever-popular question about how she was able to serve as a Shofetet. We'll also understand that a king has certain mitzvos that he's supposed to be involved in. He has to write his own Sefer Torah. He's not allowed to have a certain number of wives. He has certain responsibilities of hakel. And at the same time, a king also has certain rules of kavod. Those things don't exist by a Shofet. So the idea of Mora exists, but not the idea of Kavod. These are the differences that we'll find between the leadership of the Shoftim, whom will comprise the 355 years we're about to embark on this month, as we study Sefer Shoftim, versus that of the Melech. At the same time, let's talk about this period in time. The Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Tesvav asks us, Ezehu Dor Shekulo Havel, what is a period in time that's considered totally wasted, totally useless? Avi Omer Zedor Shel Shvot HaShoftim. It seems to be that this is the period of the Shoftim that will make up the bulk of what we're discussing. What a fascinating idea. Sefer Shoftim, to me, was always one of the most exciting books in Navi. I certainly felt very excited, not only in fifth grade when we studied it for the first time, but throughout life, whenever we've gone back over Sefer Shoftim, it moves. It's so exciting. There seems to be so much that's happening. And here's the Gemara telling us that it's a generation of Hevel, of uselessness. What's going on? So Rashi explains that the greatest ones who lived in those generations, they were not worth anything. In other words, what happened was when the Shoftim, the leadership, would come along and they would offer reproof and other difficult, harsh comments to the people, the people would turn around and answer them back. You think you're so great? And in fact, the Gemara identifies later on Amud Beis, Tesvav Amud Beis, and Bava Basra, that if a shofet would say, you know, you have to get rid of the kisam, the toothpicks that are in between your teeth, so the nishpat, the one who is being judged by the shofet, would respond and say, oh yeah, well, you have to take the beam away from your two eyes. Rashi explains, what did they mean? Rashi says this idea of toothpicks versus beams is about the fact that there's a difference between the fact that the shofet would go ahead and give reproof about a small issue, a small avera, and the people would respond, oh yeah, well, you're the leaders and you're doing big averos. The Ben Ish Chai says not so. The Ben Ish Chai offers a different idea. He says, how could the leadership be filled with such wicked people? How could they be offering reproof? So he says, no, what happened was the leadership would turn around and offer reproof to the people because the people would be accused. It would be a chashad of a certain avera. And so there would be an accusation, to which the accused would turn around and say, you're accusing me of doing an avera? Why don't you take a look at the averas you're actually doing? The Maharsha explains that he thought this was something very different. He thought that the issue over here was a little bit different. And what is that? It begins with a certain understanding that we're talking about when we say get rid of the beam between your eyes. He says you have to remember there is a takana, there is an idea in the Gemara called takanas meirish, the takana of the beam, which is to say when a person wants to do tshuva, we want to encourage the people to do tshuva. And what was going to happen over here is if we charge somebody and make him undo his entire situation, then people might not do tshuva. So therefore, if a person stole a big central beam and used it as the central beam in his house, and we demand the heishev es hagzeila asher gazal, that he has to take and return the stolen item that he stole, so people would say, forget about it. I'm not ripping out and grabbing the beam out of the center of my house just to do tshuva. Forget it. I'll stick with what I have. So for that, Chazal came along with the idea and said, you know what? You can pay for the beam, and that'll count as though it was the beam itself. So with that idea in mind, the Maharsha says, listen, you know, the judges would come to the people and say, get rid of the toothpicks between your eyes that you might have picked up and stolen along the way, these small averos. And so the people would say, at least my averos, when I'm done with them, they're not in front of me. But you, your averos are so big, it's as though you built them up into the center of your home. Who are you to give me mussar? And again, this brings us back to that big theme that we're going to learn at least four times over the course of this sefer, and that is the idea that here's a generation where in Melech B'Yisrael, where there was no central leadership, and even though they were shoftim, ish hayasha be'enav yasa, every person thought he'll do whatever he feels like, and he'll give his own mussar, and he'll give his own direction. That's not always a positive. That's a situation where there's no central understanding. And unfortunately, that leads to breakdowns depending on who's in some sort of pseudo-in charge. And that leads to sorts of difficulties that we'll find throughout Sefer Shoftim when the idea of who's in charge keeps getting repeated. In the meantime, though, we do need successful leadership, and our leadership runs on the basis of a Torah. And our Torah tells us exactly what is just and what's not just, and we'll get together and discuss those issues when we meet again tomorrow morning. In the meantime, everybody have a fantastic, amazing day.